All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking, and Hubbo and Franco in studio. And we have none other than Barry Parkhill on the line. And Hubbo is ready to tease Barry.
Yes. Cavalier legend and friend of Hubbo. That, of course, that's the most important thing. He's a friend of Hubbo. But Barry, well,
you've got to have one.
Yeah. Barry, we appreciate your joining us tonight. You know, our listeners probably don't know, you and I had lunch before the season, and we were both a little giddy about the prospects of the team. Let me ask you to start with, what were your thoughts after the Tennessee game where the Hoos got hammered down there in Knoxville?
Well, first and foremost, Frank and Jim, happy new year to you guys and your families, and thanks for having me on. You guys are digging to the bottom of the barrel now. But, after the Tennessee game, I'd be lying if I didn't say there was a little bit of concern. But you know what? Not that much. Just in being around Tony and getting to know Tony pretty well and his staff and getting to know all the players, I honestly believe it was a matter of time before they get everything worked out. And there was a lot of, I think there are a lot of factors involved in why we were playing the way we were playing, you know, before and after Tennessee. But I'm just so thrilled and happy for all those guys because I know how hard they work.
Let's go into that. What are some of the keys? What has changed since the first of the year? You know, that Tennessee game was December 30th. Since the Happy New Year, since 2014 came in, the team has just been playing extraordinarily well, which is terrific. So what has changed?
I think what a lot of people have talked about for the last couple months, we had a roster with a lot of guys that had a chance to play, and those guys certainly have to earn it. But I think Tony and his staff have figured out a rotation. I think you're looking at London Perantes, who's playing like a fourth-year guard, but he's a first-year kid, and I think it took him a while to get adjusted. You got a guy like Malcolm Brogdon who sat out all last year, did not play at all. You've got Anthony Gill who sat out last year who is starting to come around. I still think he's going to be a great contributor before his career is over. I'm not sure with Akeel Mitchell. I think part of it was just the situation with guys playing and playing time, and he's now playing the way he played last year, which was great. He's a ferocious rebounder, a great defender. Mike Toby's getting more experienced. I think it's just all the way around, but I got to go back to Tony and his staff to give them credit for keeping guys' heads in the game, and I think now they've got a pretty comfortable rotation.
Yeah, and Perantes and Brogdon, the two guys you mentioned, Perantes really, his development, I think, has been one of the keys. And talk a little bit about how important it is to have that point guard out there, the coach on the floor, so to speak.
He plays way beyond his years, and he's one of those guys, Jim, that, and you've seen him play, he's just got great vision. He's got a great demeanor. He doesn't get rattled. He doesn't get too excited, doesn't get too down, has a real good feel. I think he's a much better defender on the ball than people give him credit for because he's got a guard, the other team's point guard, and in our league, those guys are all pretty good and pretty quick. I think also he's a much better shooter than he's shown, but he really hasn't had to score that much, but he's hit some big baskets. But I think you'll find down the road he'll be a much better scorer, but he just has a great feel for the game of basketball.
All right, we are speaking with Barry Parkhill, who's up in Charlottesville now. Barry, talk to us a little bit about maybe what's going on with Joe Harris. I'm not sure I've ever seen a player with his work ethic, his determination, his resolve, and his track record up to this point, and somehow he seems like the reluctant star to me.
I have got to know Joe pretty doggone well over the last 4 years, and he is one of the greatest kids I have ever been around. I've been around a lot of them over the past 62 years, and you've heard Joe called unselfish. He is certainly an unselfish player. There's a lot of times where I want to say, Joe, be more aggressive, shoot the ball more. But he is such a team guy. A lot of people don't see what he does day in and day out. He's a great defender. He's a tough kid. He's a really good rebounder. He's just such a team guy. But I think now you see that even more. But I think there are times I'd love to see him be more aggressive on offense, But this year, he's got other guys that can help. Last year, it was really Joe and Akeel Mitchell, and if somebody else scored, we were pretty doggone good. But this year, I think there's more guys that can carry some of the scoring load. But he's just an incredibly unselfish kid, and even with Jim on the line here, Joe's one of my all-time favorite Virginia basketball players.
Well, the only thing I was going to say, he does have the initials JH, and there was another guy that had JH's initials that needed to shoot more.
But that guy you're talking about had ND as his middle initial.
Oh, no defense. That's right.
But Habbo was a great rebounder. I've said that before. I'll say it again.
Well, I thought it was because he never hustled, so you were reluctant to give him the ball.
All right. Always hustling.
Always hustling. A question for you, Barry. You watched this team this year and now sitting, I think, in the catbird seat at 8-1. You've got Virginia's got Boston College coming into town this Wednesday night. It's a good sort of revenge sort of game for Virginia to give them a little payback from last year. Then Virginia goes on the road to Atlanta to Georgia Tech. Then they'll host Maryland. And then things get a little crazy with Clemson away, the Hokies away, the Notre Dame, Miami, and Syracuse at home, and then Maryland away, and then all of a sudden it's the ACC tournament. So is Virginia positioned ideally to do what Tony Bennett and everyone dreams that they can do?
Well, I think if you look at it in the big picture, you have to say, yeah. Before we started ACC play, would we have taken 8-1 right now? I think everybody would have probably said yes. But again, as we all know, every league game's a big game. I don't care who you're playing or where you're playing them. I don't know that we can look past any team. But these guys have worked so hard to get to the point where they're at now. And there's no reason, you know what, there's no reason why we can't get a little bit better as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that will help us. And you want to be playing your best this time of year. And if you improve a little bit, then you get through the regular season. Certainly the ACC tournament over the last several years, we haven't played as well as we'd like our guys to play. But that's down the road. I think right now it's Boston College and just keep playing the way we've been playing and good things will happen.
Yeah, not to get into coach speak, but the most important game is always the next one. And, Frank and I were having a little debate off air. You know, I think Boston College is the best 6-15 team in the country, maybe ever, because I think they've got some good players. So I think Virginia is certainly going to have to be ready to play on Wednesday night. But just if you put on your Coach Parkhill hat, Lyndon Perrante's back to him. You know, he's playing a lot of minutes. He played 34 minutes on Sunday, yesterday. Any concern he might hit the wall? Sometimes freshman guys, it becomes a long season, or you think the coaches are monitoring that pretty carefully?
I would guarantee that the coaches and Mike Curtis are monitoring that extremely closely. Jim, we've all seen it. It does happen with certain kids. And now, like Frank mentioned earlier, we had a game Sunday, we've got a game Wednesday, we play Saturday, we play next Monday. So you got to tone it down and practice a little bit. And, you know, our coaches know our players better than anybody else, but I'm sure they'll keep a close eye on it. But the fact that we're playing so well and he has played so well, I think there's a lot more in his tank.
And last but not least, free throws. We still, I mean, if we had lost that game yesterday, you'd have probably been kicking yourself over some missed free throws and missed free throws by Joe Harris and Malcolm Brogdon. So is that just a mental aspect of the game? Guys get tired at the end of the game and not able to convert those free throws?
You know, it's almost something that I never like to talk about as a player, coach, or even as a fan. But as you know, I think there's a game or two this year, one in particular, where had we shot the ball a little bit better at the foul line, we might have walked away with a win. I think, fortunately, it hasn't really hurt us in the last, you know, month or so. But I think that's something that just, you know, they're working it on in practice. And when it comes to game time, I hope we can get a little bit better at the foul line. I think that'll help us down the stretch.
No two ways about that. And I think the players that you wonder about is Akeel Mitchell. Hopefully his stroke will come back. Toby, I think, is very reliable at the end of games. I think Joe will find a way in a big moment. Brogdon seems to always make at least one of two. Perrantes is pretty reliable. Justin Anderson worries me a little bit. He shot one off the back of the rim pretty high yesterday. You know, Evan Nolte and Tevin Jones aren't getting many minutes these days. Do you think that that is just the way it shakes out, or maybe Tony needs to get a few more minutes for those guys just to keep the regulars rested and also keep the other guys involved?
Frank, I think it's really, really hard to play 10 or 11 guys. It's really hard, and I've watched probably every one of our games, and Tony's trying to find ways to get guys in, I'm sure, to keep their confidence level up. But at the end of the day, it's really hard to play a lot of guys. And you can go down and look at shooting percentages at the foul line for our players, and I'm sure everybody would like to see it a little bit higher. But again, it's just something you hope doesn't come back to haunt you late in games. Of course, foul shots count the first minute as much as they do the last minute. I'm sure our guys are aware of that, and I think some guys that are better shooters, I think it does become a little bit mental. Some guys that don't quite have the stroke like Jim Hobgood, they've got to work on it a little harder, and they're probably never going to be 80% shooters. But it's a fine line, because in practice you cannot replicate a game situation, whether you're running guys or getting them tired and shooting. Nothing's like shooting it in Cameron, at the last minute with a game on the line. You can't replicate it. You just got to step up there. And
if the game is on the line, I think I'll still take Barry Parkhill at the free throw line. But Barry, we appreciate your taking a couple of minutes tonight. Are you going to be at the game on Wednesday? Maybe we'll see you over there.
Absolutely. I will be in town. I'm looking forward to it, and it's always a pleasure being with you guys.
All right. Cavalier legend Barry Parkhill joining us tonight. Again, Barry, thanks much. We'll look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thanks, Frank and Jim.
Take care.
All right. We'll go to the bottom of the hour break. When we return, switch over to lacrosse. We'll be joined by head coach Dom Starcia after these messages.